Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. This is tonight's program. It is hour number three of the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number, 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, talk about whatever's on your mind, talk about anything we've been talking about, it's up to you. In the studio tonight, it's myself, Captain Kickass, joining me.
Zeffin.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
Before we go on, though, I do want to say thank you to David Corey Eldridge. David Corey Eldridge is a silver level amplifier of Free Talk Live. What does that mean to be an amplifier of Free Talk Live? Well, David Corey Eldridge believes that the importance of spreading the message of freedom is worth him giving $5 a month to help get this show onto more radio stations. We're currently on about 200 radio stations. We could be on 250, 300, 350 stations. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. You can visit amps.freetalklive.com and find out more. It is a Patreon type of setup, so there are different levels. We only ask for $5. You can give more. There's different levels. There's the silver level, the gold level, the platinum, etc., and so on. And you do get little benefits for contributing, but that's not why you should contribute. If you enjoy this show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the perspective of freedom, peace, and liberty that we bring to the airwaves, please consider becoming an amplifier. Thank you again, David Corey Eldridge. We appreciate you. Amps.freetalklive.com. All right, let's go to this particular call. This is Jerome calling. Jerome, where are you calling from? I can't remember.
Charleston, South Carolina.
That's right, South Carolina.
Charleston.
Carolina. We've got a couple of South Carolina callers tonight.
What's on your mind, Jerome?
Hallelujah. Hey. If you married Rupert Murdoch, you can get more than $5 a month because I saw where he's engaged again.
Oh, you know what? See that? Jerome, I forgot to say something right when you first called in. That's Trump train. Choo choo.
Dear God.
Choo choo choo.
All right. All right. Anyway.
All right. Jerome's on the Trump chain. You heard it here first, no, kids.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Nope. Not going to.
So that was an insincere toot toot. Ah, Jerome, you're breaking my heart.
I have a sincere question for you, Jerome. I understand that your dislike of Trump is quite palatable, and I also understand that South Carolina tends to vote overwhelmingly for Trump. Have you ever thought of moving to a place where you might be happier? Because since I'm libertarian and I moved to New Hampshire, I've been a lot happier being around people that are like-minded like myself.
Well, let me put it this way. I lost my mom. It's going on like 3 years now. Mm. And it allows me to be somewhat close to her because, the funeral and everything and where she's buried at, it allows me to, from time to time, I can go see her because that's about the only thing I really think about now. Living here, I grew up here. It's my hometown. It's all I really know. I lived other places because I used to be in the military, and I was never really happy in those places for very long. But, I'm kind of semi-happy here, so.
All right.
That's my main reason for living in.
All right, cool.
It's my hometown, man.
The only reason why I brought it up is because I want you to be happy, man. So if you're happy there, all the more power to you. There are things more important than politics, for sure.
If Jerome ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? That's
right. Happy Jerome, happy life, what?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so. Anyway, he's 92 years old, and he's engaged. And I saw his girlfriend, I said, she's got to be at least 40 to 50 years younger than him.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Rupert Murdoch.
Who's he, Travis Kelce? Who's he thinking? Travis Kelce, huh? Come on.
Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce.
Oh,
NFL
yeah, the guy that was in the Super Bowl.
That's right, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Chiefs player.
He's a nice guy, right?
Yeah.
She's only dating him because he's a nice guy, right?
No, she's dating him because they are probably of equitable worth financially.
I don't think they'd even still be together if the Chiefs lost.
Well, some people think it was a conspiracy to get more females to watch the NFL. That the whole thing was a charade, whatever.
You know, you saying that's just wrong. Don't you believe in true love? Come on now,
love,
not for celebrities. I don't.
No. True love.
I've never seen a case that I believed was true love in a celebrity anything. Actually,
yeah.
And Trump's in love. He's in love with his two ex-wives and his present wife.
There's one thing that Trump loves, and that looks him back in the mirror every morning. Yeah.
Trump is only in love with one thing, and that's himself.
It's true.
And that's the case with most of these people, by the way.
Biden, however, can't even talk about what love is.
Biden doesn't even have object permanence. He'll see himself in the mirror and be like, oh, why isn't there another one of me, Jack?
Wait a minute. Y'all lay off Joe Biden now.
Why?
No.
When you talk bad about Biden, you're talking bad about me. You lay off my
You're a kind, decent person that doesn't oppress me.
You are way cooler. Wait, hang on. Jerome, you are way cooler than Joe Biden could ever even consider being, much less pull off.
Fact. Mm-hmm. Plus, Jerome, you complete your sentences.
Yeah. Yes.
Like all of them.
Yeah.
In other words, I complete me. Thank you.
Either that or like whenever Jerome calls, he's got pre-scripted stuff that he's going to say, and he's standing in front of several teleprompters, right? And he's watching the words go by, and he's saying them the best that he can, but, you know, it's the best he can.
And you can tell that behind Jerome, there is like a passion and a flair that comes from a place of sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is literally just in it so that he can enrich himself and become a part of this Satanist child screwing and cartel. Sorry, that was hard.
Child FCCers.
Yeah, exactly.
I said it. There are a bunch of child FCCers at the top of the political hierarchy.
Yes, indeed.
Sorry, go ahead, Jerome.
But I can't wait till this election get it. I got my absentee ballot. I got to mail it back to the state. Oh,
Jerome, I am in the exact opposite camp. I do not like this election. I am very unhappy with it. Like, honestly, I don't think I can even bring myself to vote for Trump out of self-preservation.
This election is a frickin' rerun. How retarded are the American people that the two supposedly best candidates that anyone can present us are two senile old men?
Yeah, like, okay, so Trump is when they did the global lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So if he comes into office, what kind of terrifying authoritarianism are they going to get away with now that they have the freedom option?
Yeah.
Or, you know, nuclear war with Russia. Those are my options.
He's still proud of the vaccine,
by
the way.
I'm not going to vote for either of them.
Yeah. Like, he is still proud of the vaccine. Yeah. He's like, that's my technology. It's the Trump vaccine.
That's right.
Yep. I'm sure he'd rehire Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, Trump, I'm waiting to see if he gets reelected, if he's going to pardon himself. Because I was trying to look that up, trying to find out what the odds are. I couldn't find the odds, though.
He's like, oh, God.
But I can't wait.
Got a little bit of bad guess.
Well, the odds are 100%.
He's 150% more likely to pardon himself than he is a non-criminal like, I don't know, Ross Ulbricht.
Julian Assange.
That's a fact.
Julian Assange, yeah. A lot of these even.
Ian Freeman.
Yep.
Did you see Pence? He's not going to support him. Now, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. Mike Pence, I can't support him. Why? You were on the ticket, man. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Jerome, you watch NFL, right?
Yes.
What do you think about
football league?
Yeah, or the government football league, as it's more appropriately termed. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of RFK possibly tabbing Aaron Rodgers as his vice president?
I don't like it. I love it.
Really?
Aaron Rodgers is the vice president? Hey, who's he going to accuse of being a pedophile when he gets in office? He already tried it with Kimmel. Is he going to find somebody else to try that with?
Huh? I mean,
you
I don't
remember
know.
That?
Wait, Jerome.
Jimmy Kimmel being a pedophile?
They still have that. Yeah, they have a little celebrity beef going on between Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Kimmel. It's true.
Jerome, are you saying as a Democratic voter, you're considering voting for RFK?
Are you kidding me? He needs to be home and dead. The guy's sick. He's got some kind of disease. He needs to
You're saying that about RFK, but not about Biden? How does that make any sense?
Hey, look here. Hey, Biden's he's in a lot better place than Kennedy. You ever hear of
Are you nuts, dude?
He's worse than Biden. Kennedy's worse than Biden. Come on.
Wow. Kennedy can make it through sentences and upstairs.
Yeah. By himself.
He can do like 50 push-ups. He could like do more push-ups than the average 20-year-old American male.
Maybe that's how RFK and Aaron Rodgers could campaign, because, you know, Rodgers is an athlete too. I bet you they could both just go on the road, do a bunch of push-ups, and go, there, beat that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that was something that Joe Biden, we mentioned that the couple segments ago, that Joe Biden challenged a voter to push-ups. So, I mean, I'd love to see him challenge RFK to push-ups, especially now.
How
I'd like to see Trump do some push-ups. How many push-ups do you think Trump can do?
Oh, well, yeah, not that many.
Zero? Yeah.
Hold on. So the Kennedy is selecting a vice president that is popular? Is he trying to get killed? Like, serious question.
You can tell Aaron Rodgers is a football player by some of the comments he made, because he's an idiot, okay? They don't get hit as much as the linemen. He's an idiot, okay? No wonder he's not married. What woman would want to listen to that crap 24 hours a day? He's an idiot, man.
Well, he does have a job, so 24 hours a day is a bit of a misnomer, but, you know.
And he doesn't have any children. Wink, wink. What does that mean? Uh-oh. Anyway.
What does that mean? What are you winking about?
What are you insinuating?
Yeah.
Tim Scott. Hey, anybody seen his girlfriend lately? Tim Scott?
Don't be changing the subject. No,
you can't just skip over that, man.
What are you insinuating about Aaron Rodgers with the wink-wink commentary?
Hey, he wouldn't be the first one hiding in the closet. Thank you.
Oh, he's gay.
Oh, you think Aaron Rodgers and RFK are secret lovers?
You're going to inspire a bunch of political fan fiction. Please don't.
Already done.
Oh, God.
The memes are hitting the internet right now.
Literotica is now, like, blossoming with new content.
Hey, don't you talk about Lindsey Graham like that.
Who?
Lindsey Graham?
Uh-oh. Yeah. All right, what else, Drew? Yeah,
when does that guy get to retire?
That's about it.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. 603-283-6160. It is time for the Sermon of Zephon.
Oh, yeah. So maybe to just give people a little bit of background of what it is real quick.
It's under 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, it is. Every week we've been doing a sermon that's connecting why cryptocurrency and Bitcoin has a...
Every week that you're on.
Every week that I'm on. Why cryptocurrency and Bitcoin has a connection to a more divine piece of morality that has been either impossible to achieve before or very difficult for humans to achieve before. So without further ado, I'm just going to hop right into it.
Let's go.
Yep. In the Torah, in the chapter of Leviticus 19:36, it says, "You shall have an honest balance, honest weights, an honest unit of dry good measurement, and an honest unit of wet good measurement. I, Adonai, am your God who freed you from the land of Egypt." In ancient Israeli society, weights were used to measure goods as well as means of exchange, such as gold and silver, to facilitate trade. It was common at the time for the weights to be manipulated in order for traders to have extra money off of unsuspecting customers. This is remembered in common language today as skimming a little off the top. This commandment prohibiting this immoral behavior was listed alongside not stealing, deceiving, defrauding, and profaning the name of God. In other words, these were vital commandments in upholding and keeping civilization amongst the Israelites. As we saw when Israel abandoned God in favor of worshiping the golden calf, when the Israelites strayed away from these commandments, they put their entire societal order at risk. This applies to all of the commandments. The concept of natural law means that there are things in the universe that are inherently right and wrong. If these systems of right and wrong are not followed, the individual or society that transgresses these laws experiences immediate and or long-term punishment. Many of the commandments in the Torah, including the first one mentioned, are natural laws. If a society does not recognize the importance of using honest balances, weights, and or units of measurement that can be subject to, it could be subject to the natural consequences of natural law. These consequences include the downfall of a given society or the poverty of an individual or family who transgresses against these laws. This transgression is commonplace in our society. This skimming off the top manifests most clearly within the monetary system, where central bankers are able to determine how much a dollar is worth with the click of a button by printing more money. When the Federal Reserve prints money, it hands the extra cash over to the U.S. government and their cronies at the expense of those who use the U.S. dollar. In other words, the central bankers in the government can steal the wealth of everyday people and give it to their criminal compatriots. Inflation affects all levels of trade, stifles savings, inhibits innovation, and keeps most people poor by favoring those close to the money printer, also known as quintillionaires. However, immoral actions have consequences. This was most clearly demonstrated in the 2008 financial crisis, in which banks used money printing to prop up immoral and unsound loaning practices. These practices resulted in a catastrophic market collapse in which 2.6 million people lost their jobs and $7.4 trillion in stock wealth was lost, resulting in a devastating blow to people's life savings. However, justice came swiftly for the central bankers and their associates. Following this immoral action in 2008, Satoshi Nakamoto had the vision of creating a monetary system in which the use of honest weights was inherent within the money itself. Using open-source technology and cryptography, Satoshi's vision was born in the form of Bitcoin, the first peer-to-peer electronic cash system. As a result of Satoshi's fulfilled vision, we are the luckiest generation of humanity to have ever lived. By using Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, regular people can punish the actions of central bankers. Using honest, sound, and balanced money like Bitcoin is preferable to using money that can be tipped to enrich those who control the scales. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency are the strongest tools given to humanity to enforce natural law since the Torah or other critical religious documents. Whenever the central bankers are acting degenerately by using inflation to diminish our wealth, we can seamlessly leave their system. Instead, we can enter a system based on Satoshi's vision, founded on truth, soundness, and freedom that is distributed in a decentralized manner. However, a tool only works if you use it. Utilizing Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is imperative for harnessing the most potent instrument of natural law available to humanity. This enables us to align our lives with the moral framework of the universe. And that's it.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
It does remind me that the only ones who got punished for the 2008 financial collapse are, the tax victims from the bailout.
Well, but we also were greatly and divinely rewarded.
Yeah, so, I mean, on the individual level, if you fudge your balances, you use unjust weights, yeah, you might get taken out and beaten.
Mm-hmm. Or thrown into prison.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the collective level, and again, this might take a while before you get caught, but I mean, think of all of the fires that Olivia was describing in just every sector of our life.
Yeah.
I mean, America has been the dominant civilization on Earth, and that is ending because of how it treated that position. Because it used unjust weights and measures constantly and consistently over all of this time. And when you started that, you used the phrase, "I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of Egypt."
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that doesn't necessarily translate to people is that what Egypt means in that context is
the narrows.
Slavery.
Yeah.
Slavery. Egypt is the land where you are put in bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the supreme principle of life brings you out of bondage. And the supreme principle of life instructs you to be honest.
Yeah, it's as if the common person in the area called the United States of America believes that more government growth, more militarization of the police, less value of the currency, more expensive goods, more difficult time living are the way to freedom. And I'm sorry, but they're not. Mm-hmm. That's not how you get freedom. In fact, that's the road to, well, slavery.
Mm-hmm.
The more that that persists, the larger the government grows, the more militarized the police get, the less value your USD dollar has going for it, the closer you get to the government making you a complete slave, overtly. Mm-hmm. You're currently a part-time slave. You're a slavery light, if you will, because, oh, yeah, you can move from state to state, or you can work overseas, but you're still getting taxed by the U.S. if you do. And, you know, all these kinds of things. But, you don't pay the man? Guess what? They're going to come after you. Sure, at first, it's just a couple of, you know, letters in the mail, right, that might be somewhat friendly written. But if you refuse, they will send men with guns to come and get you. And if you refuse, they purport the authority to end your life.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something about the weights and scales, too. Basically, that if you look at the weights and scales, they're supposed to measure a mathematical certainty in reality. Basically, that right. This amount of goods, it reflects this amount of value that we're transacting. So an unbalanced system is basically hijacking with the inherent order of the universe. And the thing that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency does is it uses mathematics that is inherent to the fabric of reality.
Yes.
And creates absolute certainty.
Yes.
In transactions, in value, and in voluntary interactions between people. That's the most beautiful part about this, honestly, is that, like, this is all voluntarily imposed, and it's perfect.
Yeah, and it's certain and the same for everyone. One Satoshi equals one Satoshi for the President of the United States or the homeless man in the gutter.
Baruch Hashem.
603-283-6160. Is currency backed by mathematics superior to that backed by something like gold or silver? What do you think? Give us a call. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
USA News Update. The governor of Ohio says people across the state came together in the aftermath of Friday's killer tornadoes. Republican Mike DeWine toured some of the damage on Friday in the north central part of the state. Three people died in one tornado.
Indian Lake community will come back. That's the message I got from everybody.
The suspect in last month's fatal beating of a Georgia nursing student is asking for a jury trial. 26-year-old Jose Ibarra is in custody for the death of 22-year-old Lakin Riley. Officials say Riley's body was found in a wooded area near the University of Georgia. A new study says more U.S. teens are experimenting with a psychoactive drug called Delta 8. At least one or two students in every average size high school class had tried the drug last year. Delta 8 is a chemical compound found in cannabis and hemp plants. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Final segment already?
It is.
Just flew by.
Time sure is fun when you're having flies, said one frog to the other. If you are not familiar with our program, visit freetalklive.com to find out all about us. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Zeffin.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
Speaking of Peakless Mountaineer, since you just announced yourself, you wanted to talk about something about Honduras versus New Hampshire?
I did. So to give a little bit of background on this, we had a mutual friend who recently was pulled over and was detained because he was open carrying his firearm.
In New Hampshire?
For an hour. Here in New Hampshire.
That's odd.
Right? And this absolutely blew my mind because, like, to me, the single greatest advantage that New Hampshire has over, say, one of the free cities in Honduras, is that you can open carry your firearm.
And you can concealed carry, too. You don't need a permit, nothing.
Open and concealed carry simultaneously, which is my preferred method.
Yeah, and there is largely an accepting culture of gun freedom.
Yes.
So when I find out that, like, the way I had first heard it is that he was arrested for it, which it turned out not to be exactly accurate.
He was put in handcuffs and detained and told he couldn't leave while he was in handcuffs and detained.
That's basically
arrest. He wasn't put into his cell, though. Like, a lot of people, when they think of arrest, like, oh, you know, you're behind bars,
blah, blah, blah. You got your Miranda
rights
read to you. Yeah, exactly. You get taken downtown and chucked into the drunk tank or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But the question remains, and I know that you are as New Hampshire-pilled as it is possible to be.
Indeed.
If that right goes away completely here, as, you know, it seemed momentarily to be the case, mm-hmm. what is even the point of being here as opposed to anywhere else? Because, I mean, we're all transplants.
Yes.
So it's reasonable to expect that at least a significant portion of us would be willing to transplant again for the right incentive.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to answer your question fully, but I just wanted to preface it first with the fact that if you look up this cop, you can, by the way, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, but he looks like a 10-year-old.
Look on the bottom of your head.
Nah. he looks like a 10-year-old cop. Somebody found a picture of him on Facebook that showed a picture of him having a certificate that just said that his probationary period of being like a trainee state trooper was over just like a couple months ago. And so, like... Like, and there's people in New Hampshire that are friendly-ish to the state police that are free staters. And,
sure.
Yeah, and like, apparently this is highly, highly uncommon and highly, highly frowned upon. Like, the state police tend to be pretty good on this issue. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Benjamin Olmsted. That's the name of the
10-year-old police officer.
Of the 10-year-old police officer.
10-year-old-looking police officer.
Right. I mean, like, just...
Who utterly violated the Constitution and the right to bear arms.
Correct. As well as New Hampshire state police norms amongst even their own crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, not a popular thing that happens here. I've been pulled over and have told cops that I'm open and concealed carrying. They don't care. They're just like, whatever, here's your license and registration back. Have a nice day. Yeah. I know Peekless has also gone through this where he's told cops he's been carrying and there's no problem. So this was really a very unusual situation. I just wanted to preface it with that, and now I'm going to answer your question. So basically, I think that the biggest value add that New Hampshire has over any place else on Earth is that we have the most robust and growing liberty community on Earth. Unlike other places in which it's spearheaded by, albeit very energetic men that, like, are all about, like, let's get liberty happening right now. You know, let's do it in this... private yeah. cities, let's do it in El Salvador, whatever. Here we actually have people that are creating families and are creating community connections with each other that I just don't see being replicated anywhere else. So, like, I think, and you have to also keep in mind that, like, the liberty community here is very pro-natalist. So we are going to, it means that you like to have kids, you're pro having kids.
Got it.
So we are going to have so many children and create such strong community bonds and connections with each other in this close geographic region that it will benefit us in the long term. Like, regardless of if there are slips or what we've been seeing, which are over time increases in liberty in the state, actually, we are going to eventually win as long as we keep our current trajectory. I think we've been pretty spoiled, actually, over the last, like, 4 to 8 years, where we've been getting more liberty, but I think that we're actually going to see a pushback at some point, and we should be prepared for that.
You say that we will win. What does that mean? What does the win look like? How do you know? And this is your opinion, of course.
Sure.
So, like, but, like, what does it mean to win? What thresholds, what things do or don't exist anymore that, like, you're like, oh, we've won, we've done it.
Right. Well, I think that there's a lot of different kinds of wins. You basically have to do things day by day or year by year or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see wins as the state getting consistently freer in the policy realm. I also see wins as people having children. I also see wins as people more and more using cryptocurrency in New Hampshire in their day-to-day lives and actually living the Bitcoin standard or the crypto standard. I see wins as... quite frankly, us breaking free from the federal government. I think that could probably happen. Mm-hmm. I see an, like, it's basically inevitable.
I would certainly celebrate that.
Yeah.
I'm an anarchist, and so, like, that still isn't, like, what I'm after.
For sure.
But, man, that is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, no, but I think, but what I'm trying to say is that, like, the problem is that the, this system has existed for so long that it almost has to be both an incrementalist approach and a radical approach. And we're doing both of those things simultaneously here, and it's working. And so I think that if we keep our current pace, we don't get lazy, we don't slow down, and we keep the pressure going on the continual long-term approach and the radical immediate approach, we're going to win fundamentally.
Okay. Well, so you answered what the process of winning looks like
for
you, but you didn't really answer what it would look like to have won.
Well, okay, I actually have a good answer for that, which is I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is because we've never had a system in which the government hasn't had their boot trampling over our necks. And like the world that is possible with that is just beyond my imagination, because I don't have the collective imagination of 8 trillion people.
You don't?
No.
Huh.
I mean, not when I'm, I have to be on psychedelics or something, but like.
Well, I mean, so for me, what it would look like to have won at the Free State Project. Number one, yes, we absolutely would have to have broken away from the federal government, mm-hmm. and then dissolved the state government. And what I mean by dissolved is not that we end all of the necessary services, but that we finally allow competition in them.
Mm-hmm. Right, we don't base it on taxation.
Right.
We base the services that people want and need on their demand for said products and services,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and also the mankind's ability to provide said services.
I know. Yeah. I would fire Trooper Olmsted in a second and then send him back to preschool.
There are so many like useless things that government does just here in New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
just even here in Keene on a town basis, much less on a statewide basis. Right, mm-hmm. that you could just eliminate all these departments of redundancy departments. You know.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, it really comes down to we stop violently suppressing competition.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Like, right now, if you attempt to compete with the legal system, if you right. attempt to compete with the monetary system, if you attempt to compete with the enforcement system,
yep.
you will be violently opposed, and no one will think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
That's what needs to change for me to think we won.
Now, and the reason why I love New Hampshire is because I get it. Like, there are other places in the world that potentially have the ability to fight the state in a different way, right? But fundamentally, American culture is different from other cultures on the planet. And the reason why we have a lot of libertarians here is because we do have a sort of libertarian streak within our DNA, our ideological DNA as Americans. And this is why, so I want to get into immigration law, right, to help people that are in other countries move to New Hampshire for more liberty. If you talk to them and you ask them what their inspirations were, a lot of it comes from like a lot of American conceptions of liberty and freedom, and like, oh, I was inspired by Ron Paul, I was inspired by all these different things,
right.
huh. and so like, and they're wanting to come to New Hampshire, right? They're not wanting to move to Honduras, they're not wanting to move to El Salvador. There are some that are like that, but like the fact is that we have that culture.
I'm
here.
Not talking about El Salvador.
No,
at
I
all.
Get it. Yeah.
The moment that El Salvador
or Argentina, I don't care.
The moment that El Salvador or Argentina gets a free city, I will start talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
But right now there exist these places that, as far as I can tell, like there's this minimal amount of obedience that is necessary, a tiny little fee, and then you just get left alone completely. There's no IRS asking you to document every last little cent that you do for anybody ever.
Yeah.
There's not a regulation for every single part of your existence.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right that the liberty is part of the culture. Mm-hmm. But how did it get that way? Well, it got that way through a sustained period of high liberty.
Mm. Yes.
So if you have these little pockets where liberty, real liberty, is being experienced, that's how we got the good stuff.
Yeah.
So you have this possibility where, like, it seems to me that the people that go there, even if they didn't start out libertarian, they become libertarian just from experiencing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of want to draw off of a point that the captain actually does pretty frequently, which is that, like, we, at this point in time, technology has gotten to the point, and the ability for humans to move has gotten to the point that if any of us wanted to be free and just, like, go under the radar, we totally could just, like, disappear in one of these countries in some far-off land and, like, live in that way. There might be some...
Living,
like,
that gray
risks.
Life.
Yeah, there might be some, like, little risks affiliated with that, whatever. But, like, I think that the thing that's really important is that, like, we need to fight for a vision in which everybody can be free. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that the way that we do that is not by doing the Libertarian Party version of that, which is, let's get a Libertarian president elected. I think we have to lead by example.
Yeah.
And we lead by example by getting together, working together, building community, having kids, like, and creating these self-sustaining things. And
I completely agree with 100% of that.
Yeah.
The question is, why here? I mean, we are in the backyard of the most powerful empire ever to exist.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to America, right? Like, so some of this is like a, I don't know, I feel like I'm sort of exuding like a spiritual reason behind it, but like, I think that there's a big practical reason to it as well, which is just that, like, try to convince your spouse, if you have a libertarian spouse, let's move to a different country, honey. As an American, like, used to your American way of life, going to Walmart, things like that, like, it's probably not going to go over well. I think that, like, this sort of idea of, like, if you're an American, let's move to a different country is something that appeals very much to the American male psyche. I'll admit, it appeals to me a little bit. But, like, there... I think that there just isn't a way that we can scale this and build a community in a way that we will have women present. And we cannot underestimate the importance of that, because libertarians are some male mother efforts, you know what I mean? Like so, but
more
New Hampshire...
More dudes than chicks, that's true.
Yeah, but New Hampshire, I think, has a, like, more of a decent male-to-female ratio than, like, general libertarianism, well, so...
Like, there's no other... country, right? I don't want to say government, because, like, I'm trying to make a differentiation between, like, the people of the United States of America versus the government of the United States of America, right? But I have never heard of another country advertising themselves or billing themselves, if you will, as the land of the free, right? Like, other people from other countries, and, you know, we've talked about immigration a little bit and relocating here. Why do people move here, right? Well, I don't see people who want more freedom moving to other places. I see them continuing to move here. They're continuing to cross the United States borders, right, and come here on hope and a dream that they're going to be able to be more free here than they are wherever they're leaving from, the oppression that they're leaving to get here.
And but then there is are people that just PR?
Well,
because, man, I got to tell you, the federal government is up everyone's bum right here.
Oh, it certainly is. And in fact, Mr. Senile Kid Sniffer Biden recently said again that domestic terrorism is the number one terrorist threat to the United States of America. What does that mean?
MAGA Republicans.
That means us. Right, yep. People who do shows like this, people who call into this show, listen to this show, people who, you know, listen to other sorts of media that, like, are freedom oriented, right? That's what the establishment is worried about. It's worried about the mass of people taking their freedom back from the oppressive institution that has become the largest empire.
And where are they concerned about that, right? Like, I don't think that there's really anywhere else on Earth that is as much of a threat to the globalist order as people that just happen to reside in the United States. Like, personally, maybe there's, like, Bukele, maybe there's Malay or something. Mm-hmm. But, like, a lot of the individuals, let's see, Tucker Carlson, you know, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, everyone in this room, everyone in New Hampshire.
Everybody, like, at Liberty Forum.
Right, everyone at Liberty Forum. Like, all of these people are in this geographic area known as the United States.
Yep.
And a lot of the really badass ones are in New Hampshire specifically. And I don't know, I just, I can't discount that. It's sort of like Bitcoin, right? Like, you can argue until you're blue in the face that Bitcoin has all of these inferior problems and all of that, but it has the network. And that's where its strength lies, is within this network. And I think the same thing is the case with New Hampshire. It has a strong, solid libertarian network. I don't know anywhere else it's called the libertarian homeland, you know. And I think that's where its value lies. Like, libertarianism is still decentralized. We'll never get all libertarians here. And quite frankly, I don't want them all here. But libertarians are so hard to get anywhere that the fact that we can get them here with a lot less stress than, oh, let's get them to Honduras. Let's get them here. Let's get them there. Like, I think that that is important.
Well, so to address your arguments, Captain, first, there are other countries that claim to be free places. I mean, France is liberty, equality, fraternity.
Yep.
The very first part of that is liberty. So they are absolutely claiming that they are liberty. Are they? Not remotely.
Yeah. They're the ones who gave us a statue, though.
So they are. They sure are. And they are every bit as corrupt and wretched as the maniacs, right,
so
in Washington,
not France. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so I mean I can look it up if you want, but like, this is a claim that's, I mean, the People's Republic of anywhere is a frequent claim.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, there's definitely places that claim to be free other than America.
Yeah,
there's, and for that matter, there are other places that people go to be more free. You know, Liechtenstein or Thailand or Singapore.
Yeah, I made no secret about it before I moved here. I had a list of places that I was considering, and some of those were on it. Vietnam, Chile, right? There are places on that list that I want to go. Heck, even Ireland, to a large extent, depending on what category you're looking at, can be considered more free than most states in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, New Hampshire was chosen by the Free State Project themselves. Now, I'm not a part of that. I didn't join. I didn't sign, whatever. I like the idea, right? But they doubled down. So if the U.S. was self-billing as the land of the free, New Hampshire doubles down on that with live free or die.
Mm.
Libertarian homeland.
Right. Now, New Hampshire has never really called itself the libertarian homeland. That's something the people who've moved here, have migrated here, have adopted.
Well, but all you have
and
to do is
true.
All you have to do is ask the average normie, oh, what do you like about living here? Oh, I like the weather. I like the seasons. And boy, do I love live free or die. Death is not the worst of evils.
Yeah.
Average citizen.
Yeah, it is amazing how libertarian New Hampshire, the state, is compared to the rest of the other states, even before the Free State Project existed.
Yep.
Yeah, that I would absolutely say is that if my choices are the 50 states, this is number one, no question. And like, I guess maybe Florida would be number two, probably. Yeah,
it's number two.
Well, but if you complain about open carry,
yeah,
they don't even let you open carry there.
Yeah, like I said, I have to think about it, but like,
South Dakota, maybe? I don't know.
So, I mean, the analogy to Bitcoin, I think, is kind of crucial as well, that like, as we pointed out, Bitcoin has had more attacks than anything else, and it has withstood them and grown stronger because it's an anti-fragile system.
Yep.
However, what if you just had a way to not have that kind of attack?
So,
well, then
like,
you wouldn't get anything
so,
done.
I mean, like,
that's what I said earlier.
If you're sitting directly under the eye of Sauron, you are going to have more attacks.
Well, yes.
I mean, like,
but if you
there's
want
a
to
reason
destroy...
we didn't do the Free State Project in D.C., for example.
Well, but if you want to destroy the ring, you have to get close to the eye of Sauron.
So we should have done the Free State Project in the District of Columbia.
No.
No. You don't.
Why not?
Because you don't do... You don't throw the ring into the eye of Sauron. You throw it into the thing that is in close proximity to Sauron, because Sauron cares about
right.
this place,
and
which
power,
is why he set up the tower there in the
right.
first place.
And the power of the American federal government was forged where? In liberty. It was forged in the most free place on Earth. And is this really that? Is New Hampshire the freest place on Earth right now?
It depends on what you're looking for.
I already established, at least, that the thing that matters to me is not where I could conceptually be the freest. I've already agreed with you that if I don't care about you, and I don't care about you, I could just live wherever the heck I want and live way right. freer than I can now. Right. What I am doing is I'm fighting the Empire. I'm fighting evil, and I've been able to become...
But you never get anything done by fighting the existing order. You
no,
get things
well,
done
building.
By building
no,
something
I,
different.
I totally agree. And I've been able to build things, and I've been able to build my knowledge, and I've been able to build my confidence by being in this network. I was not this strong before I moved here, and I'm not the only one that's made stronger from this network.
Yeah.
I am one data point among many.
Right. One of the underrated things to build is community.
Yeah.
Right. And that is something that is being done here. And like to such an extent that things like Liberty Forum going on right now or Pork Fest and Fork Fest going on are not only serve as like, you know, educational hubs for people who want to come to New Hampshire, figure out what it's all about, spend some time, meet some people, all that kind of thing. It also serves as a family reunion of sorts
mm-hmm.
because there are many people who have come through New Hampshire, either to and lived here for a while, or they visit frequently enough. They are of liberty-minded, disposition
mm-hmm.
That they come through and they're like, yeah, I've been over here and I've done that. And like we get to learn from their escapades around
yep.
the globe. So this freedom movement isn't just New Hampshire,
nope.
but New Hampshire is certainly the headquarters for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I will absolutely say that having been here, I have learned a tremendous amount. And that is really the big trade-off that I see there is that, like, yeah, on the one hand, you might experience more freedom and get to, like, watch a building burgeoning from ordinary to free, but you don't have the expertise that you have here.
We are out of time. Thank you to all of our listeners, our callers. Thank you, Zeppelin, for joining us tonight.
Thanks for
your contributions. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please visit freetalklive.com. Under the Resources tab, you'll find the archives. Thanks, and peace.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline.
airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.